Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday night at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Colley.
I just want to spend a few minutes tonight talking about the truth. 3 John makes several references to the truth. In John chapter 18, when Pilate was quizzing Jesus and trying to decide what to do about him, whether or not to crucify him, Pilate asked this most penetrating question, and what is truth? You see, Jesus had just said, the people who follow after me are the ones who follow after truth. And Pilate wanted to know, what is truth? Well, people for generations and centuries have been asking that question, I suppose. It's not merely a cold and sterile reality, but a warm one that we can know the truth. Something I want you to always, church, that you must always hold on to, is that truth, objective truth, is attainable today and always will be attainable. It is, of course, true that there's no verse of Scripture without contention. Somebody has an objection to every verse of Scripture and the truth that's taught therein. But that being the case, it's also true that we can know the truth, and the Bible teaches that. So what is truth, Pilate? What's the answer? John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them, Jesus praying to God the Father. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When you're holding the Bible on your lap, you're holding what Jesus described as the truth. Can we know it? John 8 and 32. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And the church has no excuse but to stand for the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 describes the church as the pillar in the ground of the truth. But now here, look. Attainable truth is not merely a sterile reality, but there's a warmth attached to it. There's a comfort in life as I walk through my days as a Christian working to serve God and living in His church and living wearing the name of Jesus Christ. There's a warmth and a security in knowing that I know that I know that I know the truth. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some difficult passages in the Bible. Of course there are. But you know what we do? We take those plain statements of the Bible, the plain statements, and there are many. We cling to those. We let the plain statements, the plain verses, interpret the more confusing ones. We hold to the truth. And the Bible teaches we can know the truth. Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 1. Now, here's the scenario. We don't know the church where Brother Gaius was a member. This is a letter written to Gaius, a Christian man. We don't know the church, and we don't know anything else about Gaius, and we don't know anything else about Diotrephes, who is mentioned in here. It wasn't important for us to know. But a group of Christians, missionaries, have traveled to this congregation to teach, and they carry with them a letter from John. And when they get there, Diotrephes, I don't know, maybe the preacher, maybe one of the elders, I don't know, but he plows a pretty wide swath. People apparently listen to him, and he said, "We're not going to do anything with these missionaries. We're not going to help these missionaries. Be on your way." It didn't matter if they had a letter from John himself. Diotrephes didn't want them and didn't want to help them. And the Bible says the reason was his heart. He loved to have the preeminence. He loved to have that power. But there was this other Christian there, Gaius. You know what? It didn't matter what Diotrephes said. You can imagine the turmoil that must have gone on inside of Gaius. It doesn't matter what he says. The fact is, these are teachers and preachers of the truth, and they're going to what this chapter calls the Gentiles. They're going to the heathen people, and they're taking the truth of Jesus Christ. I know they hold to the truth, and they're going to teach it. I want to help them. Don't you love a guy like that, huh? Don't you love a man like that? It's a conscience matter with him. Despite the fact that Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence and who is so powerful in the church, doesn't want to do it, it's still the right thing. And I'm going to help these Christians. I'm going to help these missionaries. All right. So he does. And I don't know in what form his help came. Maybe he kept him in his house. Maybe he gave them some money. Maybe he fed. I don't know what he did, but he helped them. Now, they've finished that trip, and they've gone home, and they've told John about what happened. And now, apparently, they're returning. And they bring with them this letter, 3 John, a letter of commendation to Gaius. To say, and I'm going to read it, but to say, Gaius, I appreciate you. You did the right thing. It was good of you to do this. And I'll handle Diotrephes later. I'll take care of that problem. But I want to encourage you. I'm in 3 John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, that is, those who he has helped to convert. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity. They came home and told me about you. They bore witness of your charity before the church. Can't you just see them? So it's not uncommon for us at West Huntsville to have a mission trip, and we're about to have one next month, by the way, and we'll tell you more about that. But it's not uncommon when we come home to stand up and explain how things went to the church. Here's what we did on this trip. Well, they come back to John, and they're in the congregation there, and they say, let us tell you, church, about Gaius and how much Gaius helped us. They borne witness of your charity before the church, verse 6, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Christians are like that, you know. The people that we teach aren't the ones who ought to pay for the gospel. Christians, the church pays to take the gospel. We don't take it and charge them for it. You understand? And that's what he's saying here. Taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church. I sent the letter. But Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. And he forbids them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. Had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. 3 things I want to tell you about the truth. Number 1, and look at verse 1 and 2. John writes about loving in the truth. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. You know there are different words in the Bible for love. And there are different forms of love. And we love for different reasons. We love our family members because we're born into that family and we're close to them and we were reared with them. And we have a love for our fathers and our mothers and our siblings. We have a love that is for our spouses. And we understand that. That's a different kind of love and a special and a wonderful love. We have a love for our children. That's a wonderful love. If we're Christians, though, we also have agape love. And you understand that agape love means that I love people regardless of whether or not they can benefit me. I love them because of what I am. So Jesus would teach us even to love our enemies. And how can you do that? Well, because it's not love that's contingent upon the other person. It's about me. It's about what's inside. I'm a Christian, and I want to show you kindness and helpfulness, and I want the best for you. All right, but here's another kind of love. It's called love in the truth. It's one of the sweetest loves there is. And in some people's lives, it is the very sweetest love there is. Love in the truth means I love you because you love the same truth I do. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. That's love in the truth. Now, I started the sermon saying that we can know the truth. That's very important. That's essential to this discussion. But you know what it is to love in the truth, don't you? Sometimes Mrs. Colley and I will travel to different congregations and teach and preach. And, there's a wonderful thing that happens. There's kind of a phenomenon. And you know how it is when you travel and you go to meet with the brethren, with the Christians, and they're just friends you haven't met yet. You feel a closeness to them. It's not at all uncommon for us to get letters back from people where we visited, and we have this relationship. We hardly know each other. But if you know that a person is a Christian, a true Christian, the person holds to the truth, you know quite a lot, really, don't you? He says, I love you in the truth. What does it mean? It means you have instant camaraderie. You have an instant friendship when you learn that someone is of the faith. Someone is of the truth, right? You're a member of the body of Christ. I understand you're a member of the church of Christ. That's right. Well, then we've got something mighty important in common. It means that I am your brother. You're my brother. You're my sister. We don't take that lightly. You know, the Bible makes reference. Different ones in the New Testament make reference to each other as brother and sister. And we do that. And we don't take it lightly. We're part of the family of God. It means that we have the same life goal. You know, Philippians 1 and verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what? When you know that about a person, when you know that you share that, you love in the truth. We love in the truth. And there's one more thing. When you love in the truth, you have this deep longing for the best for them. Now, what is the best? Look at verse 2. I want you to get your arms around this. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I love that. This is a great refrigerator verse. I mean, here's a verse that you would do well when you write a letter, a really meaningful letter. Put 3 John 2 under your name. And I wish that you would prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. I wish that your employment would go, that you would be financially blessed, that you would prosper in this, and that you would have good health to back it up. But then there's this qualifier. Here's the limitation. Here's the degree to which I hope that's true, even as your soul prospers. Eh? So when is it good to have a lot of money? I mean, suppose $1 million is, you have a windfall. Bang, $1 million. I want to ask you a question. Is it a blessing from God or a curse from the devil? Which is it? Well, here's the way that you answer that question is with this verse. Is it commensurate with the prospering of your soul? That's it. You see, because if material possessions outrun my desire to please God, then it's a curse of the devil and not a blessing of God. It's not any good for me. It's going to bring me down instead of pull me up. But what if my faith is commensurate with, is equal to the challenge of that material blessing? In that case, it's a blessing from God because of all the good that can be done with it. Here's what he asks about him. Here's his desire for him. I love you in the truth, and as a result, I want what's best for you. I want you to prosper and be in good health. Watch now. Even as your soul prospers. Now, we're a materially blessed nation. Do you ever wonder if this is displeasing to God? I mean, the degree to which we're materially blessed, is it displeasing to God? In comparison to other nations, you know, you see the average person lives so much better in the USA than they. And is this something that's displeasing to God? The answer is, that's not the question. The answer is, you go to this verse and you say, is our faith prospering in a way that's comparable to how we're prospering materially? That's the question. Is our faith strong? Is our faith strong? All right, point number one is, he said, I love you in the truth. May God bless you, Christians, with many people in your life that you can love in the truth. There's a sweetness there. There's a warmth and a closeness there that's, you know what? It's deeper than a biological relationship. And we got people in this audience right now, and in their lives, their families aren't so very close. They are not so close to their family for one reason or another, but they're close to this family. And it demonstrates something that I've known for many, many years. You know what? Truth is thicker than blood. He said, I love you in the truth. But now here's point number two. Start with verse 3 again. Let's talk about walking in the truth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And the demonstration of this is what he did with those missionaries. It wasn't that he just sat and listened to preaching every Sunday or that he read his Bible. It wasn't merely a mental exercise. I mean, it had legs on it. He walked in the truth. Now, the Bible, in a number of different places, talks about your life from the beginning to the end as being a walk, and it's a pretty logical analogy. You're in your walk of life right now, and so the Bible will speak, for example, in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it talks about walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. You're in your walk. You're living in your walk, and it's your manner of life and the way that you live. And here's Gaius here, and he's a man who loves the truth, and he loves people who love the truth. And when these missionaries came through, he did the right thing. Why? Well, because it was typical of a man who walks in the truth. Now, I think that Matthew 25 is interesting. Go over there with me. Keep your string in 3 John. Here's Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. This is the judgment day scene. And we get a chance to look into this remarkable day, and we get to listen to Jesus. This is just a foretaste of what's going to happen in the judgment. When the Son of Man shall come, this is Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my... Oh, I hope you hear these words. I hope I hear these words. And we will in Christ. Stay faithful. Be faithful. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now watch the list that He gives here now. Now, you know what? It's important to be doctrinally sound. The Bible teaches that we can't be right with God if we don't follow the truth. And we'll talk about that some more in a minute. But we've got to stay with the truth. But isn't it interesting the kinds of things that He points to here? He says, Come, you blessed of my Father. And here's what you did. Here's the kind of people you were. Verse 35. I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Do you get this? It isn't enough to merely have a religion in theory. It isn't enough just to listen to the preaching and teaching and reading of the Word and believe it even. You've got to live it. You've got to live it. And that's what's taught here in the Judgment Day scene in Matthew chapter 25. All right, back to 3 John. He says, you know what I love about you, Gaius? You know what I love? I love in the truth, and I love because you live it. You live your Christianity. All right, one more thing now. Teaching the truth. Teaching the truth. Not everybody's cut out to be a preacher. Not everybody's cut out to be a missionary. You don't have reference made here to Gaius being a traveling evangelist. You don't have reference here to Gaius being a preacher or an elder or a Bible class teacher. No reference to that. And yet in this commendation is something about teaching the truth. I want to start in verse 8. Well, 7. Let's look at 7. Because that for His name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. What John does here is to link Gaius with those missionaries in a way that's very important for us to understand. They're fellow laborers. This is something that's been used before. I'm reading now from Philippians chapter 1. Listen as Paul uses the same terminology. Philippians 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. All the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, watch, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. They weren't the teachers. Paul was. But they were financially supporting him. When he would go on these journeys, they were financially supporting him and had been supporting him. When the missionaries came in 3 John, they came to the church there. Gaius saw to their needs, and Gaius was part of that. He wasn't the one who was doing the teaching, but he was still a fellow laborer with the truth. I want to make you feel good. I want you to think about the fact that with your contributions, what you're doing is taking the gospel all around the world. And you may say, well, I don't have the ability or skill to go and teach in these places, in Ukraine and South America and Argentina and India, and these places. But you're a part of that work. You're a fellow laborer in that. You're doing something very important. The truth is, the work couldn't go on were it not for your contributions. The work that you do to make those contributions makes you a fellow helper or a fellow laborer in that work. And that's John's message here to Gaius. The truth is something you can go to sleep with at night in security. I want you to always believe in the attainability of the truth. Psalm 119, verse 105 says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The end of Psalm 100 says that his truth endures to all generations. Aren't you thankful for the truth? Aren't you thankful that you can know the truth? But there's something phenomenal that goes on in reference to it in the church. And we have it in 3 John here. We love each other because of the truth. We have that in common. We love each other in the truth. 2, we walk in the truth. It's not just something we believe, but it's something that we do. We walk in that. And this week we're beginning a work week, and God bless you as you walk in the truth. And thirdly, we teach the truth. And not just those of us who use our voices, but all of us who are fellow helpers, like Gaius, in the truth. Now, is there someone here tonight who wants to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Maybe somebody who's made up his mind, I know enough truth, and I don't know all the truth, but I know enough truth to become a Christian. You can repent of your sins and confess Jesus and walk in the truth. You can be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins and live your life as a Christian, loving, walking, teaching the truth. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come now as we stand and sing. We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.